Don't you guys love it when Brad comes and worships with us? Well, I of course love it when all of you come and we get to worship together. That's a wonderful thing. And if you're with us for the first time this morning, definite welcome to you. And if you're with us for the second time or the thousandth time, welcome. We're glad you're here. When you came in this morning, you probably picked up a worship folder. You'll see some cool announcements, whatever, inside. Ooh, if you're really lucky, you got one of these in there, the little children's section for when it gets boring. You just pull that out. The most important part of this worship folder is this strip here on the edge. That'll rip right out of there a little later today when we receive the offering. If you're new, visiting, if you have something you want to share with us, a prayer request, whatever it is, that slip is your way of communicating with us, and we would love for you to let us know whatever you would like for us to know. Also in there, you'll see this little paper that says, "Why did Jesus come?" And if you want to pull that out, it'll make it a lot easier for you to follow along with me, since my wife tells me sometimes I go too fast. That way, if I fly through it, you can have it in front of you and read there and keep on track. So Christmas is over. I didn't hear any grunts, groans, cheers, nothing. Okay, Christmas is over. And Christmas is a strange thing for me personally. A lot of people call me the Grinch. I love what Christmas is really about, but I hate all the junk around it. I know some of you love all that other stuff, and the fact that I even just called it junk is probably, you know, probably just made the hair stand up, and you're already shutting me off because you don't like me anymore. But we've just turned it into such this big, huge commercial production. And what bothers me the most about that is that inside of all of that, it's easy to miss what it's really about. And it's easy to forget to stop and think about what it's really about. And so this year I was talking with a friend of mine, and we were just kind of sharing different things that we've been learning, thinking about, whatever. And he just kind of, you know, as he was mentioning what he's been learning lately, was talking about this whole idea of why did Jesus come? What's the full implications of that? And so he got me thinking about it. And so I've been thinking about this for, you know, the last few weeks here. And just really trying to, in the middle of all the craziness of Christmas, take time to stop and really think about why did Jesus come? And what does that mean to me? Specifically, I think the natural thing for us all to do is we go straight back to kind of what I would call kind of a Sunday school answer. And why did Jesus come? Oh, just so we can go to heaven. And then we move on. Okay, yeah, I learned that. I know that. You know, I'm grateful for it. You know, but okay, let's move on. And it's interesting because as I really started thinking through this whole thing, it's so much more than that, isn't it? I think our first difficulty when we think about why did Jesus come and we don't understand the fullness of this all is that we tend to think it's reactionary on God's part to send Jesus. We kind of put it in a process like this, probably because even when somebody shared the gospel with you, they kind of shared it this way. And I've kind of shared it this way with people before too, is that God created us all, we were all perfect, we chose to sin, the penalty for sin is death, so God said, well, I don't want you to have to go to hell, so I'm going to come up with this other alternative. I'm going to send my son Jesus, he's going to die for your sin, take your place, take the penalty for you, and you get to go to heaven forever. And so when we think of it in those terms, it's a very reactionary response on God's part to our sin. And so we tend to think that God, you know, in his infinite wisdom and glory, decided that he would step in with this great plan and fix the mess we got ourselves into. Which is true-ish. There's a very important part we miss when we put the thinking in that way, is we miss that this was God's plan from the very beginning. Before God even created us, it was his plan that he was going to send his son. Look at this passage here, Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Wow. It kind of puts a little different twist on it, doesn't it? You know, this wasn't God's reactionary thing. This was God's plan from the beginning. This is what he wanted to do. He wanted to show his love to us in this way. He wanted to give us himself from the very beginning, before he even created us. That's amazing. And so it's not just why did Jesus come as a fix so we can go to heaven. It's Jesus came because that was God's plan to love us and to reveal himself to us in this amazing way. One of Jesus' closest friends, as you read about him, is this guy named John. John was kind of one of his inner circle. You know, there was Peter, James, and John were kind of the three closest guys who followed Jesus around. And John, after Jesus had gone back to heaven, John decided to write an account of Jesus' life. And what is really fascinating to me is how he started this account. So I want you to read this with me here in John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell us about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell us about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion and plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, 'This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance we have received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us.'" It's interesting to me that John started, as he gave his account of Jesus' life, he started at the beginning, before creation. He started with this fact that Jesus existed before any of this other stuff. That must have been something that was very significant to John for him to start his account this way. He didn't start with, you know, the baby in the manger. You know, he started with Jesus existed before the world with God. And he goes on and he talks about it, and he ends it here, this little section he ends with the fact that Jesus came to give us unfailing love and faithfulness, right? Jesus came to show us God. That's why he came. So later on, in John chapter 14, John actually talks about an exchange that Jesus had where Jesus himself is teaching a little bit about why he came. Take a look at this in John 14. It says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going." "No, we don't, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Back to kind of, you know, the Sunday school aspect. We look at this as simply a heaven passage. I mean, he's talking obviously about heaven there, right? He says, "Hey, I'm going to go. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back. I'm going to bring you there." He's talking about heaven. But there's so much more than just heaven, as is referenced by what he says after he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," right? He says, "No one comes to the Father except by me." So I just want to take a second and look at each of these things and just try to process through this. Jesus says, "I am the way." And again, we naturally think, okay, Jesus is the way to heaven. Let's move on. But very clearly, he's not just talking about, "I'm the way to heaven." Jesus is the way to God. Not just to be with God in heaven. Jesus is the way to have a real, personal, deep, intimate relationship with God even now. Even now. And when he says, "I am the life," we think about, okay, he's the eternal life. But Jesus isn't just about this eternity in heaven. He's not just about this future thing that's to come. If that's all we think of it when we read this and we think, oh, that's about that future thing, heaven, it doesn't have a huge impact on our life now, does it? But when he says that I am the life, he's talking about I am your life now. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches very clearly that you have died and you now live in Christ. He is your life. It's not just this future thing. It's about now. And then there's that truth one where when we kind of put it in that Sunday school box and we think, we just kind of gloss over that one because we're not really sure. I guess it's true that he is the way and the life, right? And we just kind of, but I think that one is super important. Jesus says, "I am the truth." And you go, well, what does that mean? What is Jesus the truth about? What's he talking about? Well, you see, Jesus came to show us who God is. Jesus is the truth about who God is. We have all sorts of crazy ideas, some very wild and whacked out ideas about who God is that we have somehow come up with on our own or through the media or through our upbringing or whatever. Wherever we come up, we get some really, really off ideas about who God is without even trying. That just happens. But Jesus says, "I am the truth of who God is for us." He came to show us God. He tells us, he says, if you have known me, then you know the Father. So do you want to know what God's like? Hey, read the Gospels. What is Jesus like? Because that's exactly what God's like. Not only that, but Jesus is the truth about how God feels about you. He's not just going to tell us what God's like. He's going to tell us how God feels about each and every one of us. Jesus is the truth about that. Sometimes we get ideas that God doesn't care about what's going on in our lives. You felt like that? I've felt like that before. Oh man, God must be too busy for me right now. Boy, this sure isn't going good. Right? Or, man, I totally blew it. God must just turn his back and walk away because he couldn't possibly want anything to do with me. Because, boy, have I really screwed things up this time, right? But that's not the truth of how God sees us. That's not the truth of what God thinks of me. Jesus is the one who tells us the truth about how God feels about you. And what is Jesus' truth on that? Well, God obviously loved us enough that he sent Jesus in the beginning, that he left Jesus here for a lot of years so that we could have an example, so that he could reveal God to us. And then Jesus paid our price on the cross, right? So that we could be made right with God, so that God could have a relationship with us. Not just so that God can own us. He made us from the beginning. He could have done that from the start, right? Not just so that God has some authority now to tell us what to do. He created us. He could have done that from the start, right? No, it's that God wants a relationship with us. God cares about you so deeply. And it doesn't have anything to do with what you have or haven't done in your life. Jesus didn't come just for the good people. In fact, when Jesus talked about it, he said, hey, a healthy person doesn't need a physician. I've come for the sick, right? Jesus came for the broken, the hurting, the needy, not just the people who have it together. Jesus is the truth about how God feels about you. And if you're believing anything different this morning, I want you to stop thinking about that thing, and I want you to start thinking about the truth of Jesus, that God loves you deeply. And more than anything, he wants a true, deep, intimate relationship with you. And then Jesus is also the truth about who we are. Right? The truth about who we are is totally rooted and grounded in Jesus. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. We just read about that, didn't we? We are God, Jesus, the two of them. We are the three of them, really. There's the Holy Spirit, too. But anyway, the three in one. We are his creation. Ephesians says we are his masterpiece, right? We are the crown of his creation. All other creation was created by God, but only humans did God actually form with his hands, and only humans did God actually breathe his own breath into, right? We are made in the image of God. Carefully, as a masterpiece by God. So next time you don't like yourself, you need to maybe stop and think about what you're really saying about God. Right? I mean, yeah, we mess things up, but ultimately, what God created is a beautiful creation, and that's who we are. We are valuable. We are God's beloved. Think about that one for a while. So, as you can see, if you really stop and think about when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, heaven is just kind of a small part of that. That's not the main thing here. The main thing is this awesome love, deep love that God has for us, and this amazing invitation that He gives us to come and be in relationship with Him. God actually pursues us. Think about that one. God cares so much about a relationship with you that He has pursued you. He has sought you out. He has done everything to make a way to reveal His love to you and to invite you into that relationship. That's huge. All right, so let's go back to Ephesians 1 where we started. We're going to take a look at this here, verses 3 through 12. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His own Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure, and this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth, and furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. So back to our original question. Why did Jesus come? Why did He come? Well, if we look at this passage, here's what we're going to see. Jesus came to bless us with every spiritual blessing. Jesus came to make us holy and without fault in God's eyes. Jesus came to adopt us into God's family. Jesus came to give us freedom. Jesus came to shower us with kindness and grace. Jesus came to give us all wisdom and understanding. And Jesus came to give us an inheritance in God's kingdom, which, by the way, includes everything in heaven and earth. Kind of a pretty big inheritance going on there. So that's why Jesus came. You know, it's so easy in the midst of all the mayhem to just kind of gloss over this, right? It's so easy to just, oh, He came to save us from our sins and move on and not really think about, what does this mean to me? How does this affect me? Why is this so important? But as you can see, Jesus coming makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? changes everything, and not just for a future in heaven, but for the here and now. So I know Christmas is over, but I still want to encourage you guys that the significance of Jesus coming is it doesn't just happen once a year. It's not an annual thing, right? The significance is very real for us each and every day of our lives. And so I want to encourage you all to be thinking, asking that question, processing through this, taking the time to let each amazing result of Christ's coming really impact your life. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much, Lord, for sending Jesus. That you love us, that you love me that much, God. That you pursued me at such